Welcome back to our continued studies in Proverbs. In recent classes, we have brought into view a variety of practical topics addressed in Proverbs. Communication, sometimes called the use of the tongue, but we have included keyboards, social media, text messages. Other topics, pride, humility, friendship, money. The early chapters in Proverbs set in motion the fundamental and essential attitude of fearing the Lord and seeking wisdom. Then we have all these topics addressed, and they are addressed in very simple, sometimes single-sentence statements. So I decided we would take one class to simply discuss the fools in Proverbs. Various kinds of people who do not fear the Lord and are not living according to wisdom. I hope this will help us with the discipline of discernment and remind us of knowledge we've acquired already. Review is a good way to spur spiritual growth and the maintenance of wisdom in our lives and good self-examination. Let's not talk about fools and leave off self-examination and assume that we have no foolish ways, or that we couldn't be tempted. Let me start here. In Proverbs, we become acquainted with various types of people. God-fearing people are described. There is the worthy woman in chapter 31, but some are unworthy. There is the sluggard who cannot seem to work up enough energy to take care of himself. In one case, to get the fork from the plate up to his mouth. There is the seductive woman, the procrastinator, the violent person who hastens to shed innocent blood, false witnesses. It really helps us to meet these various types of people. These portraits illustrate either good or bad, give us very simple pictures of how people engage in life, how they respond to God, or pursue a pathway away from God toward their destruction. In whatever direction these people are moving, they instruct us. They help us live in the fear of the Lord and in submission to Him. One of these character portraits in Proverbs is the fool, and there are many different kinds. We'll talk about a few of them. The fool in Proverbs, let me begin by saying, is not insane, not necessarily uneducated or unable to reason. The fool in Proverbs is the moral fool who has the capacity to straighten up his life and obey God, but would rather serve his own interest, no matter the risk or consequences. The portrait of the fool is very helpful for us, having the power to steer us steadfastly in the other direction toward fearing God and keeping His commandments. And so, I want us to meet four fools in Proverbs. There is first the fool who trusts in his own mind. Proverbs 28:26. Whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool. We have minds, because God graciously chose for human beings to have the capacity to think and learn and make decisions. God not only made humans, He made animals, rocks, water, light, but to us He gave mental capacity, the ability to think and learn and make decisions. However, it was never God's intention for us to make up our own rules for life. I know that because of statements like this in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 23. I know, O Lord, that the way of man is not in himself, that it is not in man who walks to direct his steps. What happened? As you read the Bible, you have all these historical narratives. What happened when men and women made up their minds about their lives without God, made decisions, choices without God? What happened? Cain killed his brother. the Tower of Babel was built. The people of Sodom and Gomorrah destroyed themselves by their choices. Israel fell into idolatry. David and Solomon made their mistakes. Countless examples are given in and out of the Bible of what happens when men and women make up their minds about their lives without God. So this statement in Proverbs ought to be studied and thought about with the greatest kind of care and self-examination. Whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool. Now, each time we identify a fool, a moral fool in Proverbs, we quickly need to move over to the opposite. What would the opposite be? Whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool. Now think, what would the opposite be? Remember this simple rule. When something is condemned in the Bible, find and embrace the opposite. So instead of using my own perceived wisdom to guide my life, I need to learn and do God's will. And be so diligent about that, His will directs my steps every day. As written in Ephesians 5:17, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. When you read the Word of God, you are putting what is right and best in your mind to reside there and to lead you. When you listen to sermons from the Word of God and you apply the truth to your attitudes and your actions, you evaluate yourself. When you study the Word of God in a Bible class and make whatever improvements or changes Scripture demands, when you listen to videos on YouTube like this with similar content from the Word of God, you are letting God into your life through His Word. You are living with a mind and a body in submission to the Creator. The way of the fool who relies on his own thinking is opposite to the Christian who thinks what God has thought and revealed. Whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool. Yet, the status quo in our society is everybody do your own thing. Whatever you come up with in your own mind, make your own way, figure it out, revise it as you go along. No restraint of external law. Morality is seen as a private matter. May I remind us, this kind of humanism provoked God's judgment when everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Judges 17 and verse 6. So our first fool trusts his own perceived wisdom. What we want to keep doing is what we studied earlier in Proverbs 3 and verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Let's meet another fool. This fool despises his father's instruction. Proverbs 15:5. A fool despises his father's instruction. Well, it's not unusual for children to impulsively think and to say that their parents are just not that bright. Rather than admit their own rebellion and disobedience, instead of owning their selfishness, it is not uncommon for unruly children to claim their parents are just not really with it, not very bright, don't understand. So here it was written long ago, a fool despises his father's instruction. But let me ask you, have you also heard people say that their parents seem to get smarter the older they get? Now, let us grant right here there are parents who are careless, even ungodly in their responsibilities to their children. But when we're talking about God's institution of the family and God's intention, children need care and guidance and authority before adulthood, and parents have that assignment. We must impress upon children the God-ordained role of mom and dad. And parents ought to constantly examine their role and interest in their children's future. Here's something else you will hear. You'll hear people say, "If only I had followed the instructions of my parents." I mean, from adults who look back and discover their rebellion and come to realize it would have been better, far better, if they had followed parental instruction and wisdom. I think if you could interview people who threw their lives away with alcohol, immorality, or some form of greed, many would admit they rebelled against their parents. A gospel preacher I knew once described the role of parents this way. There is a period of minority. When children do not have good judgment, they take risks foolishly. They say and do what is inappropriate. They do dangerous things. God has given to parents the obligation to supply that missing judgment faculty until the child reaches maturity. It is a serious matter for parents to forsake that responsibility. And it is serious for children to assume that they are wise and their parents are just dumb. And thus Paul said, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Fool number three comes from Proverbs 10 and verse 18. "The one who conceals hatred has lying lips, and whoever utters slander is a fool." In legal terms, slander is a statement made about someone that is untrue and intended to hurt, to injure. Libel is the same, except the statement is made in written form. So a false statement about another is what we're talking about here. As the law defines it, both libel and slander are types of defamation, meaning there is an intention to damage a person or an organization, something hurtful. Now, the Bible, here in Proverbs 10:18, is telling us who does this kind of thing, who commits this kind of crime, the fool. I read this one time, slander slays three persons: the speaker, the one spoken to, and the one spoken of. It shows immaturity. It shows evil attitude. It accomplishes no good. If the fool feels better after telling the lie, that's only temporary. Nothing is gained. God is offended. And slander slays the speaker, the one spoken to, and the one spoken of. I found this a number of years ago, and I've used it earlier in the Proverbs studies. What is slander? A verdict of guilty pronounced in the absence of the accused, behind closed doors, without defense or appeal, by an interested and prejudiced judge. Now, again, what is the opposite? Every time you find the fool described, the moral fool, or you find something condemned in attitude or action, rush over quickly to the opposite. So what is the opposite in this case? It's telling the truth. Telling the truth in love, getting your facts straight, never accuse without presenting evidence, and never speak of someone from angry, selfish vengeance. One writer said, "Wretched are those preoccupied with insulting, belittling, and discrediting others." The fool is everywhere in Proverbs, often speaking his own mind, trying to live by his own thoughts against the mind of God, and early on, against the authority of his parents. Fool number four, our fourth bad example, the fool who mocks at sin. Proverbs 14:9, fools mock at the guilt offering. Now, if that throws you, because it is written in terms of the Old Covenant, the NIV says, "Fools mock at making amends for sin." The New American Standard Bible says, "Fools balk at sin." Have you known people who just don't take sin seriously? It doesn't bother them. It doesn't matter. They are not offended. They not only don't care about sin, they may even celebrate it. The fool in Proverbs is like that. He mocks at sin. Have you heard people say about some sinful behavior, "Well, you know how it is. Sin is just sometimes brushed off. It is dismissed. It is accepted." You'll hear someone say, "Everybody does it." Righteousness is belittled. Sin is celebrated. This is the way of the wicked, the fool who consumes evil, goes back for more, and then wipes his mouth and says, "Everybody is doing it." Sin is not a laughing matter, and the truth for us is, if God is offended, we ought to be offended. Now, again, what is the opposite? Loving God and His law. Loving Jesus and living in gratitude for what He did for us. Paul said, "Abhor what is evil, cleave to what is good." The fool mocks at sin. In Proverbs, through illustrations and character sketches and brief statements of moral truth, God's text messages, God is helping us see clearly the essence of a good life that leads to a good outcome eternally and that glorifies Him, and that's good for us while we're here. Proverbs is loaded with stark contrast, vivid comparisons, pictures of consequences. The purpose is to take each of us to right choices and to steer us away from a life ruined by sin. With this rich instruction, we have a choice to make. I pray and hope each of us will maintain our steadfast course in the right direction. And I know where the good, right course in life can be found: in response to Jesus Christ. Coming to Him, repenting, confessing your faith in Him, being baptized into Him, and then living according to God's definition of wisdom. Fools mock at sin. Wise people go to Christ to have sin forgiven and then avoid it by being daily disciples of Christ. Well, thank you for listening again, and join us next time when we address the important subject of intoxication and excess. You won't want to miss that one. Thanks.